Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with superstar Steph. Curry's quest for a fourth title starts tonight. But how does Boston stop the ultimate superstar? And speaking of Boston, their young superstar has finally arrived at a championship moment. But do our experts trust Tatum to deliver in crunch time and bring a championship back to Boston? Plus, Aaron Rodgers played a round of golf and then opened up about his future. Could the end be closer than we think? We'll play it for you right here on Get Up. As we say good morning to you, I'm Ryan Smith of Vergrini today. Got a jam-packed show for you today. And look who is here as we're getting ready for the NBA Finals tonight. Brooke Pryor, though, talking football with us. Steelers reporter, studio debut. Diana Russini here, J.J. Redick, ready to talk finals, along with Rob Ninkovich and also Vince Carter. Everybody's here, raring to go. But first, we're going to start with some hockey and the game of the night. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals. Rangers hosting the Lightning. And a little more than a minute in, these guys got it going. The Rangers, Mika Zibanejad winning the race for the puck, passing ahead to Chris Kreider, who knocks it in. Great pass, great finish by Kreider. Rangers take an early 1-0 lead. Second period, Rangers up 3-2. And watch this. Keandre Miller passing to Filip Hietl. The goal. Hietl's second of the game. Rangers take a 4-2 lead. A minute into the third period, same score, Andrew Kopp, Artemi Panarin, the bread man, delivering. Look at that beauty right there. Rangers running away with this one, leading 5-2, and then the passing was on in the third. Panarin, Zibanejad, the one-timer, in. Top shelf, Rangers win it 6-2 and take a 1-0 series lead. And in the postseason, you have to hold serve at home, and the Rangers have done just that, going 7-1 at MSG, with their only loss being that crazy triple overtime game against the Penguins in game one in the first round. Remember that? Last time the Rangers won seven games at home in a single postseason was 2014, and they made the Cup Finals that year, so watch out for this team. Now, turning back to the NBA Finals, folks, we are finally here. It starts tonight, game one. And the Celtics, huge midseason turnaround to make it. Since the NBA went to 82 games in 67, they're the fourth team to reach the finals despite having a losing record at the halfway point in the season. And then you got Golden State in the finals for the sixth time in 8 years. Only three other franchises have ever accomplished that feat, the Celtics and the Lakers, many times. And the Jordan Bulls, of course, of the 90s. And one big matchup will be how Defensive Player of the Year Marcus Smart defends Steph Curry. Historically, Curry shoots just 29% with Smart as the closest defender. Only three defenders have held Curry to a worse shooting percentage. And then there's this. One big discrepancy in this series has been handicapping who's going to win. Caesars has the Warriors installed as the favorites, but our BPI gives the Celtics an overwhelming 86% chance to win the series. Now, keep this in mind. The metric has favored the Celtics all postseason as they have them rated as the best team in the league. So let's talk about the moment we've all been waiting for. Vince Carter back with us, J.J. Redick right here. And, J.J., let's talk about this key matchup, Curry versus Marcus Smart. What concerns do you have with Curry matching up against Smart?
Well, his history has shown that Marcus Smart has done a really good job defending Steph Curry. The numbers back that up. And if you look at the Steve Kerr era with the Warriors versus the Celtics have had a lot of success. And some of that early success was also because of Avery Bradley guarding Steph Curry, who's obviously not there. We brought this up a number of times this week. The switching frequency of the Celtics. They were first in the league in the regular season, second in the playoffs. It's not going to just be Marcus Smart guarding Steph Curry. With all that all off-ball movement, there will be guys switching on to him, and how he handles those matchups will be important as
well. And you mentioned it right there, especially the off-ball movement with Curry. You got to watch him at all times. There's going to be a lot of switching. Vince, how do you see this playing out?
It's echoing what JJ said. I for sure see a lot of switching because of how Golden State plays. They play the pick and roll. They use the pick and roll. They utilize it at a high volume and efficiency, and they love to run. I was about to say JJ. What's up, JJ? They love
Vince,
to run
step
off of a lot of screens, a lot of movement. So so they love to run them off of screens. So look for switching and look for Golden State to purposely do so to get, if you would, a lesser defender on him if Marcus Smart is getting the better of Steph Curry.
Okay, so we see how that works. And then, JJ, so I guess the question that Celtics fans are wondering right now is, can Marcus Smart just flat-out shut Curry down? Can that happen? And I know you say there's going to be the switching, and it's a team concept. I get that. But if it's his primary responsibility, will he shut him down?
Well, look, it's interesting to think about the different ways that the Warriors use Steph Curry. Obviously, with the off-ball movement, the cutting, the screening, they use him in direct pick and roll as well. So a thing to watch as this series progresses is how much they're switching those pick and rolls. Al Horford has been phenomenal as the switching defender throughout the year. Of the big guys who have guarded over 500 possessions, he leads the league in points per possessions allowed. Like, he's really good at that. I don't think there's a ton of guys on this Celtics team that you can target the same way that they targeted players in that Nuggets series, the same way that they targeted players in the Western Conference Finals against the Mavs. The Celtics, 1 through 6 or 7, have really a team full of solid defenders.
Wow, and you look at this, again, the shooting percentage that he's got against Smart. I know you say it's going to be about more than that in the switching, but I look at this, and I say this is going to be a key matchup for people to watch. So game one is tonight. Let's go through some of these prop bets if we can. Over or unders. Okay, so JJ, over or under Marcus Smart, 1.5 steals.
I'm just going to take the under on all of these. I actually expect this to be a grinded out game. You're talking about the two best defenses in the league, not just the Celtics defense, but the Warriors defense. I'm taking the under on all this. Look, I think Marcus Smart is active. He's going to get deflections. I'll take the under on the steals.
Okay, so Vince, over under Jaylen Brown 2.5 threes made.
I'm going to say over. I'm going to go. And the reason I say over is because of the attention that Jason Tatum is going to demand and get in this series, where Jaylen Brown is imperative. If he's shooting the ball and aggressive and making shots, this is very gettable.
Okay, so JJ, last one. Jason Tatum, over under 28.5 points.
I'm going to take the under on this as well. I think he gets close to it. I think he's around that number. I think he ends up having a 26, 27-point night, but I'm taking the under.
Okay, around that number.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's a successful night for him. So then let me ask you this, because we were talking about it all morning when you talk about Jason Tatum. Phenomenal player, right? Phenomenal player. But no one can get out of their head game 7 when Marcus Smart was taking 5 straight late game shots at the very end with the series on the line. And it got us all thinking, do the Celtics need to see more from Tatum late in games? Because that's what we expect out of our superstars. At the end of the day, when things are on the line, the superstar is going to say, give me the ball.
Well, look, over the course of these playoffs, he's second in the NBA in total points. And his shooting splits are 54% from the field, 48% from three. That's in the fourth quarter. Through the first two rounds, he was great in the last 3 minutes. And during that Heat series, I think he was 1 for 5 in the last 3 minutes. So, again, in the aggregate, he's been pretty darn good in the fourth quarter and in late games in this postseason. There were some struggles in the regular season. So the Celtics struggled as a clutch time team, 13 and 22 in clutch games this year.
How big of a problem is it if he struggles clutch time?
It's a huge problem.
Okay.
It's a huge problem. He is their primary creator at the end of games. Jaylen Brown obviously can handle that as well, but it's got to be one of those two guys late game.
Okay, Vince, go ahead.
And JJ, real fast. And if he's turning the ball over, they're in trouble as well. I mean, because you're now putting the Golden State in situations where they're in transition, getting all the 3-point shots or easy layup that they want. You look for Golden State to try to shrink the floor. I mean, you're going to see both teams try to shrink the floor to really narrow the gaps. And for Jason Tatum, it's attack mode mentality for him, because when he's in attack mode and making the right decision, it doesn't always mean shoot the ball. It just means attack to draw the defense and find your guys and create easier shots for his team. That's when I think he's at his best. And sometimes the numbers won't show that he's being aggressive because of, like you said, shot attempts sometimes. But if he's get in the paint, getting guys wide open shots who are capable shooters and can make shots, that is a win for Boston as well.
Vince, I think you bring up a great point here, and that's turnovers. I think that's one of the keys to the series for both these teams. You're talking about, again, the two best defenses in the league. Both these defenses can weather off shooting nights. We saw that in the Heat series in game four when Boston didn't shoot well but only turned the ball over 9 times. If these teams turn the ball over, and the Warriors as well can get careless with the ball, and we saw in that Heat series, Jaylen Brown and Tatum have high turnover games, like that's where you lose the basketball game. They just need to get good shots and be patient. They can withstand off-shooting nights because that defense is so good, both these teams.
And guys, let me just ask this question. And Vince, I'll ask this of you. I still find it interesting. Can we pop up that graphic again, comparing Smart to Tatum late in games and who's taking the shots? Because this is critical when you think about it. I think that when fans are looking at these matchups, and look at that, Smart taking more than Tatum in the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter this postseason. I think when fans think about superstars, they think, they're demanding the ball at the end of the game. I know the Celtics are a team that's very deep, but still, Smart taking all these shots leads me to believe that at the end, they're deferring to him a little bit. Now, that might be wrong, but give me your sense of what you think about that and whether or not that will fly against the Golden State Warriors in the finals.
Well, Ryan, understand, superstars want the ball in their hand to make the play that is available or the best play. And then some superstars want the ball in hand, so they're going to shoot it regardless if there's a double or triple T. We know some, and it's very capable. But I want the ball in my superstar's hands to make the right play. And, you know, that number, if I'm Golden State, I'm gonna shade a little to Tatum to allow Marcus Smart to shoot shots. It's kind of dictated off of defenses. We know going in who we want to take shots. We know who we want to live with in situations as far as if we're going to lose this game, it's because we said such and such can have a great night. So I think it's just situations where I don't care what the situation is. Let's get the ball into our star's hand, and then we'll live with the result from there, thinking and hoping he'll make the right play. Sometimes it's going to take a tough shot. He's going to get a great shot for himself, or he's going to get an open shot for someone else. That is important in my mind, is that your superstar is able to create open shots and open looks for other players.
No, you're exactly right, Vince. Some of these stats are a byproduct of the fact that Tatum is going to oftentimes, especially at the end of games, go against a loaded defense, go against a double team. You saw the one clip there where he kicked Al Horford in the corner. He had three guys on him. And sometimes out of that, right, it's a swing. All of a sudden, it's late in the shot clock. You don't have time to get the ball back to your star player. And that's where you see Derek White shooting a floater or Marcus Smart shooting that three. Like, that's just a byproduct of putting so much defensive attention on star players.
Okay. I think of this because I'm reminded of LeBron early in his career when all the argument against him was, you're passing it too much. You're the superstar. You should be taking the shot. But you bring up a great point. Sometimes there's not enough time to get the ball back, and you got to do what you can do. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in game one, specifically with Tatum. Okay, so coming up, Aaron Rodgers sank the match-winning birdie and then dropped a line about his future that shocked all of us. We're going to play it for you next on Get Up. Plus, Steph Curry, one title away from matching LeBron James. Just what would a fourth championship mean for his legacy? That and a lot more coming up as we come back on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up. Look, we love talking football, but what's better than football players playing golf? The match, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady taking on Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, young versus old. And this one was good. Early in the match, Brady and Rodgers two up. Rodgers, the chip shot on the third hole, puts it close to the hole and not quite in. Take a listen to Josh Allen's reaction to that.
That's what happens when you don't go to OTA. You just sit around and play golf all day.
Love it.
Oh, Brady and Rodgers, though, would lose the hole. Just one up after three holes. And now on the final hole, look at Rodgers with that solid tee shot. Nailing it right on the green. They're positioned to win. Rodgers now in place to get the victory if he nails this. And he does. Coming up clutch. The fist pump. It mattered. It did. Old beats young. Rodgers and Brady beating Mahomes and Allen. And look at what Rodgers had to say afterwards about his future.
Oh, I think about it all the time. I mean, I resonate with what Tom said about the mindset of 55-45. You know, when you commit, you're 100%. But the older you get, you know, the interests change and the grind, I think, wears on you a little bit more. And the football part's the easy part. That's the joy. It's the other stuff that wears on you and makes you think about life after football. Tommy obviously set the bar so high with playing so many years, but I can definitely see the end coming.
There is so much there, and I know people are rolling their eyes like Aaron Rodgers is trolling us. I don't care. This is amazing. Because he's talking about the end is near. Let's bring everybody in. Everybody's back with us. Brooke, I'll start with you. Rodgers' comments after the match. What do you make of them?
I'm with you. I don't know if I'm with you, but I rolled my eyes a little bit when he said that. Because, look, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers can't play a golf match without stirring up some drama. This man, I go back to last year when he said, oh, it's a beautiful mystery. He just likes to kind of drop something and see what happens afterward. And that's what this was. I felt like I think it was a test shot or just a continuation. We were, I don't know, going to have a quiet offseason with Aaron Rodgers because that's not possible. But here we are in June. We are on the Aaron Rodgers drama train yet again.
But the realization is he is getting older, right? So I think it's fair to say that the end is near. It is very, he's being realistic, you know, and he's giving credit to Tom Brady, who, guys, I think we have to just be okay with that Tom Brady did something and is doing something that we may not see again. Mm. He's not changing the way NFL quarterbacks are going to be playing the game. I think he's that unique. I think he's a bit of a unicorn. So it's fair to say Aaron Rodgers at almost 38 years old here could be wrapping it up soon. The question, though, that I have is he going to be okay wrapping it up with just one Super Bowl?
Oh, that's going to be, hold that thought, because I definitely want to touch on that. But Ninko, I want to bring you in, because does this sound to you like a man who might be entering his last season? And he's not just talking about what's happening on the field. He's saying the on-the-field stuff is great. The off-the-field stuff and all the hats you have to wear, that's part of the problem. What do you think he means by that?
Yeah, well, listen, when you're the star quarterback and you have the pressure of a franchise and everyone around you is looking at you to be the guy to lead you every single day, yes, that takes its toll. That's a psychological toll. That's that mental fortitude every single day. And yes, I know, listen, we're not saying that these guys have it ultra hard. They make a lot of money for what they do. But at the end of the day, when you do it year after year after year, we know that football is a physically demanding sport. Look, I don't want to offend any of the basketball guys, but none of these football players are sitting out with thigh bruises, okay? Listen, they're not sitting out because they got a little contusion. You fight through pain, you have the mental things that you're fighting through, you're trying to be a leader, you're trying to win another championship, so I understand when you've made the money
that
these guys have made.
Can we get Vince in here? Wait, Rob, Vince Carter heard you. Go ahead, Vince. What do you think about that? Not like these basketball guys. What do you think?
JJ just Rob, texted me. Rob.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It's a different sport. But, you know, we We're running all the time. At least in between plays, you know, you get hit. They give you a chance to shake it off and go in the huddle and try it again.
Oh,
you know, we're
go.
Continually running. So that thigh bruise you're talking about sometimes, you know, that's when we have to take it off. You know, I was fortunate enough to play 20-something years, and the one thing that I can relate with what Roger said was sometimes it's tough outside of being great at what you do. It's like it's mentally it's like, oh, man, all right. It's been fun, but what's next? And, you know, you kind of start to look at what's next when you're standing or sitting next to somebody like Tom Brady. You know, he's like, okay, he's played that long, but what's next? And I can understand that. So I think it's a little bit of, yes, he's looking for the other side, but I still think he's just throwing it out there just to see what sticks.
Okay, so I like that you bring that up, and I want to bring it back to Aaron Rodgers because, Brooke, that makes an the interesting point there. You talk about what's next. Rodgers mentioned part of what's next. You get older, you have other interests. It's not all about football anymore, he said. I'm paraphrasing there. But maybe it's not so much about the game, but so much that he's moving on in some ways.
Maybe he just wants to sit on the couch and read more Ayn Rand. I don't know what is in his future. Maybe it's hosting more Jeopardy. I know that they're still, you know, trying to find some permanent hosts for that. But to me, yes, I'm sure he is thinking about what's next. We all think about what's next to a degree, but it still feels like things were too quiet for him. Things were too normal. And he said, you know what? To what Vince said, just see what sticks. This feels like a what sticks situation. To me, it feels like I don't want to say cry wolf because, yeah, we all think about things and getting older mm-hmm. each year. Maybe this is the year. Who knows? But I'll believe it when I see it.
A little bit more time left. Diana, back to your point earlier. Can you see him walking away with one Super Bowl? A lot of guys never get one.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that, but can you see him walking away with one Super Bowl?
No, absolutely not. Not with all the drama that's come with him and the we'll call it demands, the needs, the things that he's wanted around him. And maybe he hasn't received all of that. But I truly don't believe Aaron Rodgers wants to finish up his career considered to be a great quarterback, one of the greatest, but one that only got one. He sat next to Tom Brady, who's got enough rings to go around times three, right? Almost practically at that during that interview. That's tough to sit there and know that you're just as talented. And, you know, we can debate another time who's better. But to me, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback. And the fact that he's only won one, I think for him, the competitiveness in him, he's going to want to get one more. I just don't know if this is going to be the year.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And don't worry, we're going to talk more about this and Aaron Rodgers later in the show. Thank you, guys. Well, tragic news now from the NFL. Former Cowboys and Bears running back Marion Barber III has died. Police in Frisco, Texas say they were responding to a welfare concern yesterday at an apartment believed to be leased by Barber, and they found his body. This cause of death is unknown in his case. Barber played for the Cowboys from 2005 to 2010, was named to the Pro Bowl in 2007 despite not starting a game for a 13-3 team that finished with the best record in the NFC. He led the Cowboys with 975 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. Barber was 38 years old.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
A star-studded NBA Finals begins tonight, but let's go what some of these stars need to do tonight to get the dub. JJ, what must Klay Thompson do tonight for the Warriors?
Look, we know Klay Thompson is a great shooter. There's two things I'm looking for tonight. Klay is an underrated cutter. And so much of what the Warriors do is cutting out of those post splits and those high splits to get layups. And then defensively, he's probably going to be matched up with Jaylen Brown. We haven't seen the pre-injury Klay Thompson on that side of the ball. He's going to have to be huge in this series against that matchup.
Klay versus Jaylen Brown will be something for everybody to watch. Vince, what must Marcus Smart do tonight for the Celtics?
But we know what Marcus Smart is going to do defensively and just be annoying. But offensively, man, he's going to have to be aggressive, get into the paint, knock down open shots, because I feel like he's going to get open shots off of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So looking for Marcus Smart to also take advantage of mismatches. He's going to try to post up Curry. He's going to try to post up Poole. So his aggressiveness on both ends is important for the Boston Celtics.
JJ, what must Steph Curry do tonight for the Warriors?
He's got to make this a track meet. Look, we talked about the switching with the Celtics. They switch more pick and rolls than any other team in the NBA, and the Warriors have been the worst team in the league against direct switches on pick and rolls. They've got to use the off-ball movement to make people chase Steph Curry over and over again. This is where his conditioning, which is elite, as good as anybody in the NBA, will come into play.
And I think that's an underrated part of his game, too. I think everybody talks about the shots, the scoring averages, things like that. That doesn't describe the whole Steph. It's the conditioning. It's the moving without the ball. That's what makes him so great. So let's talk about Steph for a little bit. Four wins away from his fourth ring. JJ, if Curry adds another title, where is his place among the all-time greats? Everybody's talking about winning the finals MVP. I mean, that's part of it, yeah. Where's his place among the all-time greats if he wins a title?
To me, he's easily already a top 10 to 12 player.
Ooh.
And if he wins a fourth championship, I think you can cement him in that top 10. The hard part, of course, when we talk about the top 10 is, well, who are you going to move out? Are you moving Wilt Chamberlain out? Are you moving Bill Russell out? Like, there's as time goes on, top 10 is going to mean more and more, because we're going to have 20, 25 guys that are worthy of being top 10. But I do think if he wins a fourth championship, you got to move somebody out. He's in the top 10.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have to change top 10 to top 11. Vince, what would a win in the finals mean for Curry's legacy?
So, you know, so when we talk about these players, I typically like to wait till they're finished to see how this story ends first and foremost. But I think he's right there, just like JJ said. And, you know, he wins this championship and I'm going to say, and wins the MVP. It opens up another door that a lot of guys don't even know exists. That elite door, it'll say elite status door, that he will now get an opportunity to have the keys to open, because I think what he's done, you know, as, you know, primary scorer, all the attention, but he's an unselfish elite superstar. Like his ability, like JJ said, to be in the best shape, to with his movement, to create opportunities for other players to win, because he understands how important they are. That should be factored in. That means something, because most superstars want the ball in their hand to prove that they're the superstar. Steph doesn't need it, you know, per se, to be that superstar.
I love that you mentioned that, because it brings apart the idea that it's not just about him scoring and him dominating, but about him contributing to the team and making the team great. So when you look at Steph in that vein, Vince, do you think that if he wins this title and or finals MVP, that it puts him on the same level, if not a greater level than LeBron?
I don't want to use the word greater.
Where did that question come
from?
Hold on,
man. I thought I heard something. Yeah, JJ. Yeah, whoa. It stopped me right here. But no, I think he deserves to be in the discussion. I think he's in the discussion. And by any means, I'm not saying he will be better than LeBron James. But I think when we talk about what he's done over the course of his career and changed the game, he deserves to be in that conversation. I will say that. You know, I think he deserves to be in that conversation now. But now when you mentioned, you know, who changed the game, who are some of the icons of today's game, and you're going to mention LeBron James, but you have to say LeBron James. Oh, yeah, and Steph Curry as well.
Mm. Yeah. No, I think Vince brings up a great point here, and that's we have to wait to the end of Steph Curry's career. And at 34, he definitely still has some great years left. So we don't even know what his accolades look like at age 38 or 39. The key thing here with LeBron is just the longevity, the sustained excellence that we've seen now since 2003, 2004. You know, Steph's run here, while incredible, is really since 2015. So I do think the longevity of LeBron, the All-NBAs, the MVP, like all that stuff, that factors in to why he's so great.
And let's not forget, LeBron has had, and again, we can all debate this, LeBron hasn't had the kind of teams that Steph has had, especially in recent years. LeBron's had to carry teams. But on the other hand, I look at it and I say, well, Steph is kind of a winner and he defers some of his opportunities and talent in order to build for the team.
Draymond talked about this yesterday in the press availability. Mm-hmm. You know, he talked about the whole system, the whole organization, everything starts with Steph Curry being a selfless star.
Yeah.
The greatest example of that in recent memory is Tim Duncan. Like, yeah, Pop was great, Tony Parker was great, Monty Ginobili was great, but if we're being honest, it started with Tim Duncan being so good and so selfless, and Steph is the same way.
And that's what I think is missing from the discussion when people say, is he great if he doesn't win a Finals MVP? Because I think it ignores the fact, Vince, that he is so selfless. And sometimes when you are selfless and you can't take all the shots and you're not scoring 40 a game, people tend to look at it as if, well, he's not as good as we think he should be. I think somebody brought up the point that he's averaging 26 points a game in the Finals. Unbelievable.
But Ryan, but you said it already. His ability to create for others and make others better by not having the ball in his hands. Like when Steph Curry and JJ knows this, when I say this, in scouting reports, you obviously you know him in pick and roll and transition. But when Steph Curry is getting a single or double pin down, guess where all eyes are going? On him. And guess how fast he runs off of screens. He'll run just as fast to get the ball as he's not getting a ball to be a decoy, because he understands the attention will be on him to get an easy layup for another player, which can be a big bucket in the game. We're talking about late game situations where guys will run to half court to get the ball just so they can get in the. No, Steph will stick to the script, do what the system calls for to create the best shot for his guys. And a lot of guys can't do that. I'm going to tell you, I was a superstar player. I want the ball in my hand, and then we can go from there.
There you go. Honesty. That's what I like. Now, I want to get to somebody else who's very honest. You guys brought him up. Draymond Green spoke to ESPN, and I think this is interesting about why he believed this Warriors team could return to the finals. He says, because nobody had beat us. No one has ever beaten us whole, ever. Has not happened yet. In 2016, I got suspended from a game in the finals. In 2019, KD goes down during the finals. But then you follow that over to Cleveland. No one has ever beat us whole. And whole is the key word right there. JJ, do you agree with Draymond that this Warriors team is unbeatable when they are fully healthy and whole?
Well, I don't know about if I agree that they're unbeatable. I do agree with what he's saying. I mean, it's a factual statement that he just made. Okay. They have not been beat in the finals when they are whole. But again, I don't like playing this what-if game, because we could do this every single season. Right. We could play these what-if games. I mean, over the last seven seasons, there is literally some sort of asterisk you could make to every championship. I can make the argument, same argument in 2015. The Cavs weren't whole. Kyrie was hurt.
That's true.
Kevin Love was hurt.
Right,
like they were missing for that series. So, I mean, look, he's not wrong in saying no one's beat us whole in the finals. But I also think that the what-if game is a dangerous slippery slope.
Yeah, the winning percentage, you see it right there, off the charts.
Yeah, because it's a flip
when
side.
They're all three healthy. But go ahead, Vince.
No, look, you said it's a flip, like JJ's saying, it's a flip side to it. Like, they were whole, but what happened on the other side that they took advantage of? They took advantage of those opportunities. He's not wrong. I mean, and they have a great team, and if they're whole and when they get their complete team back this year, they're defensively, I think they're great, and they add Otto Porter, who's a capable three-point shooter. But, at the end of the day, anyone's beatable. It just depends on the situation.
Hey, Vince, do you think he's just thinking this team is maybe a little underrated? Maybe he thinks this team doesn't get the respect they deserve?
This is Draymond Green empowering his team, regardless. He's going to let you know he's looking out for his guys. You know, there's some, you know, the BPIs are saying Boston by a landslide. Well, guess what? He's letting you know when we're whole, we're unbeatable. What he's letting you know is his group, his guys are coming back whole. Their entire team will be back, and they're unbeatable. So he's letting it be known that, you know, he believes in his squad as he should.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. And a lot of other people believe in him too, and we can't wait to see what happens tonight because the NBA Finals, folks, finally here tonight, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, ABC and ESPN Radio. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown and the Celtics taking on Steph, Klay, Draymond and the Warriors. Game 1 coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 8:30 Eastern. Well, coming up, Lamar Jackson is still missing from OTAs as he looks for a new deal. We're going to tell you why the Ravens may be hesitant to give him everything he wants. We'll be back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you with the NFL, and as camps are underway, let's get you your camp pass. What storylines you're watching for as training camp approaches. Ninko, I'll start with you. Bill Belichick coaching Mac Jones. Talk about that.
Well, usually you see Bill Belichick on the defensive side of things. So this year is going to be a little bit different. The Patriots don't have an offensive coordinator. They haven't titled a coach as so. So you look at Bill Belichick with Mac Jones basically in his back pocket from the start of these OTAs, mini camps. I think that you're going to see Bill on the offensive side of things basically every day. I think Bill's going to be heavily involved in the offense this season. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mac Jones in his second year takes that next step forward with Bill Belichick basically as his quarterback coach.
Very interesting. Brooke Pryor, what are you looking for as we get into camp?
I'm looking at one thing, and that is Najee Harris's quads. I was actually standing on the sideline at OTAs last week, and someone said to me, Najee Harris is all quads and booty, shall we say.
That's on Ryan's Twitter handle.
Exactly. That's a sanitized version, but it's true. This man is stacked. He has put in the work going into his second year. 1,200 yards last year. Look for more this year.
I'm the exact opposite of that. Diana, what are you looking for as training camp approaches?
I want to be like a nerdy reporter and be like, you know, Geno Smith with the Seahawks at quarterback. Back on Lamar Jackson, no contract. But why are we not talking about the possibility of a Chargers-Rams LA versus LA Super Bowl? Ooh. At this point, the Chargers got better this year. Justin Herbert in his second year is just going to take a step forward. He wowed us last year. Khalil Mack next to Joey Bosa on defense. And of course, we saw what the Rams did, and we'll see if they'll be able to bring Aaron Donald back as they're going to try to defend that Super Bowl. But how cool would that be in Arizona this year? L.A. versus L.A.
I would love to see it. We're always talking about Lakers, Clippers. That's even better. Okay, to Baltimore. Keeping it in football. Keeping it with Lamar. Where the Ravens are conducting their OTAs without their star quarterback for the first time in his career. Now, Jackson's entering the final year of his rookie contract. And right now, there's no long-term deal in sight. Now look, we've been talking about this all offseason. And guys, what really piques my interest here is we don't quite know what's happening. I think I've said on this show a million times, how is he even going to camp if he doesn't have a deal? Diana, you're observing the situation closely. I wonder what you think about where things stand between Lamar and the Ravens.
Right, so the simple answer is money, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it always comes down to. Lamar Jackson obviously has a number that he's shooting for, and the Baltimore Ravens feel that he's only worth a certain number, which then starts to make you think, and take a look at how do the Ravens view their quarterback, right? Are they viewing him as an elite quarterback that deserves the money that we'll see a top five quarterback get paid right now? Or perhaps are they not seeing him in that same arena? Perhaps they're only looking at him as just a superior athlete who's incredible. They're changing the entire offense for him. So that tells me they're in on him. But maybe they're just not all the way at this point. And you know, you mentioned that it's been really quiet. You know, it's good to remind everyone that he doesn't have an agent. He represents himself.
Right.
You know, and the Ravens have kept this really quiet. They want him there. Camp is going to be coming up in 2 weeks now. And he has said on Twitter he's going to show up. He's not there for the voluntary ones, but mini camp, he will be there. Of course, he'll be fine, too, if he doesn't show up. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the future of Lamar Jackson at this point, do I think he would play without an extension getting done? I do. I think he would go out there and play and take that chance on himself. And I think that's what the Ravens are sort of hoping he does as well, because then they can just franchise tag him the following season.
And I think the impression is that the Ravens are going to give him a blank check because of the MVP, because he's an otherworldly talent. But you bring up that important point, elite athlete, but how do they see him as a quarterback? Ninko, what do you think about this?
Well, listen, if I was in the front office, which they wouldn't put me there because I would pay Lamar because I think he's that good of a football player. But listen, these guys are smart. They do the analytics. You think they do all that stuff about football players and their height and weight, and they don't do about contact. So Hembo gave me a stat line, which is pretty crazy to think that Lamar has been hit 821 times in his short career. So I can guarantee the Ravens are looking at the amount of contact that he receives and longevity the next 4 to 5 years. Can he sustain that kind of contact without his game changing? Because mm-hmm. is Lamar the same player if he loses a step, or if he can't do the same things at year 8 or 9 that he did in the beginning parts of his career? So, you know, for me, I would pay him because I know how much he means to that organization. But unfortunately, these teams, they pay for the future. They don't care about what you've done in the past. It's all about potential for the next 5 years. And unfortunately, I think that the reason that they're not giving him that top five quarterback money is because they're concerned about his longevity with how many contact and big hits that he has to take with his style play.
That is really interesting. Now, Brooke, you cover the Steelers. They're the division rivals. How does what you see with the Steelers and you're talking with them color what you think might be going on in this situation?
You know what? Ninko just had that Hembo stat about how many times Lamar's been hit. In the Steelers' second game against Lamar last year, mm-hmm. they sacked him 7 times. To me, that ties into what Mike Tomlin said in 2020 when he said, "We respect him, but we do not fear him."
Oh.
Love a good Mike Tomlinism. But that, to me, sums up, I think, how the AFC North as a whole feels about him. This guy, he's still a very special talent. I'm not going to say teams have Lamar Jackson figured out. We are not going to walk down that path because I don't think you're ever going to have him all the way figured out. But they're not as scared of him, maybe, as they were his first couple years here. The Steelers, Lamar Jackson is 2-3 against the Steelers. He is also 12-8 against the AFC North, completing 63% of his passes. He's just not as good in his own division, and that, to me, tells me what other teams think of him.
I think we can wrap this up with one thing. When Rob was talking about Lamar, we were showing that highlight rip of Lamar, and what did we see? We saw him running with tremendous speed and tremendous athleticism. What didn't we really show there? Success in the pocket as a traditional pocket passer. And those are the quarterbacks that are getting paid top dollar. That's the story, right? When you see him, you see the running. And yeah, it's fantastic. And they've been able to choreograph their offense that way. But that's not going to get you paid the money that I'm sure he's looking for. I don't know if the Ravens are going to come up to the number that he's looking for, but Rob paints a perfect picture of those concerns just based on what we're seeing here on film.
Yeah, let me play devil's advocate here and like flip it a little bit. So I totally get what you're saying, this idea that what are we seeing from him in the pocket? And I just want to make it clear for everybody watching, nobody is saying Lamar Jackson is not an amazing quarterback. I mean, that goes without saying.
He ranked 17th in the pocket over the last 2 seasons in football.
And Ninko, how do you think that plays out in terms of how they pay him? Because you're talking about if he doesn't, in terms of changing his game and improving that part of it.
Well, first of all, they need to help him. So he needs a little bit more. Last year, I know they dealt with a lot of injuries, and he has a go-to tight end. But if they could add a couple more pieces for receiving core, I know they have young receivers right now. They got speed at the receiver position, but they need just a few more pieces to give him a little bit more confidence. And he's going to have to progress, kind of like how, you know, you look at the early parts of Mike Vick's career. Michael Vick was a dynamic, explosive runner, but then as he got older, he became a pocket quarterback, and he would even say, yeah, I was looking to scramble, but I wanted to throw the football. So I think Lamar is just going to have to adapt and change, and as he gets a little bit older and he sees all the different looks and all the different defenses, to adjust and start to protect himself a little bit. I mean, going sliding, not taking contact, you know, running out of bounds, throwing the football. I think all those little things because every single hit, it adds up. So as a player and as his longevity and his earning career and his earnings throughout his career, you know, pile together, he's got to make sure he takes care of himself.
Okay, I love when people in the NFL are watching the show, right? Because everyone's got opinions about Lamar, especially. I have a defensive coordinator in the league just texting me, because what you guys are missing here, preparing for him is like college is getting ready to play Army or Navy. It's a totally different offense than anyone else in the NFL. It doesn't matter. He's always a threat, and this guy's not with the Baltimore Ravens.
I think top five money is in his future. We will see how this plays out. Great discussion, by the way. All right, let's get up and go with a couple stories from the world of sports. Starting with the Ukraine World Cup dream. Remains very much alive after they beat Scotland 3-1 in their playoff semifinal on Wednesday to set up a winner-take-all clash with Wales for a spot in the World Cup finals in Qatar. Then Gonzaga star Drew Timmy announced Wednesday he was withdrawing his name from the NBA draft and returning to the Bulldogs for another season, solidifying coach Mark Few and the Zags as national championship contenders. And the U.S. cruised past Morocco with an impressive 3-0 friendly win at Cincinnati on Wednesday night, with the team playing the first of four June matches, serving as tune-ups for the World Cup in November. Well, coming up, is the end near for Aaron Rodgers? Played some golf yesterday and had some interesting things to say after, and we'll play that for you on Get Up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.